Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, Jennifer Hudson and her life after American Idol. Hi, friends. Welcome to another day of Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Naomi, and today is September 23rd. We're opening up our magazines to page 38 today to enjoy our entertainment article together. I hope that all of us will be able to enjoy this article. I think it's a very interesting one. We're talking about someone who competed on a television show and was not very successful at first, but enjoyed a lot of success later on. And so I hope her story will be inspiring for us. Now, joining me in the studio, first of all, our entertainment expert, Campbell.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be back.
So you are also a singer?
I'm a singer and an actor and a dancer. And actually, you know, when I was back in New York, I did consider trying out for American Idol, but I never actually did it. I don't know, just never got around to it. But it does sound like quite the experience. And actually, I'm a big fan of Jennifer Hudson, so I'm excited to be here to discuss this article with all of you.
Okay, great. Now, also joining us is Brandon. Brandon, are you a singer?
I am not a singer, nor am I an entertainment expert. However, I do enjoy watching American Idol, so I can talk about that.
Well, can you tell us a little more about the show?
Yes. Well, of course, many people come out to try out in different cities across the U.S., and many, many people are turned down. It's quite funny, actually, to watch the people that come up and try to sing. And some people, maybe they just want to get on TV or whatever, but they try out, and then there's a select few that move on to the Hollywood round, and then it becomes much more competitive, and then Americans begin to vote for their favorite artist.
Okay, I think singing competitions have been popular for a long time, but this idea of a televised series that just goes on for a whole season, where you watch this competition progress from week to week, the standards are very high.
Right.
I think this type of thing has gained popularity, maybe in the last, I don't know, 5 years or so.
Right, and I think one of the things that makes American Idol so popular is the fact that the viewing audience actually gets to choose. I think, you know, in the past, shows like Star Search or other talent competitions, it was just the judges who chose the winners. But, you know, the fact that the audience gets to pick and vote for who their favorite, you know, who they want to win, I think that is what draws everybody in to the program.
It is interesting. It's not just up to the judges to say, oh, this is a good singer, this is a bad singer, the end. There's a lot more to it. There's personality and presentation.
Right. And I think there's a good mix, though. The judges obviously give their opinions, and I think a lot of voters listen to those opinions to help them to know who to vote for. But obviously, the voters get to the last word on that. But it's interesting, I think, to listen to the judges and their opinions sometime. And sometimes I agree with them, sometimes I disagree with them. Uh-huh. But again, they are experts, so I assume that they know what they're talking about most of the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting is in watching these shows, I used to think, oh, you know, they lost and they're out. You know, they lost their chance. But with shows like American Idol, you've seen that, you know, people, even if they haven't won, if they don't become the American Idol winner for that season, they still go on to be very successful and they still go on and move on to do some great things.
Okay. Now, today we're talking specifically about Jennifer Hudson. And if you've opened up your magazine, then you can see some pictures of her. She might look familiar. Now, she did participate in American Idol. But how did she do when she participated?
Well, she didn't come in like the top three or anything. She came in the top 10. But she went on to be successful, as Campbell did, which is encouraging to see that people come out and they do their best and they go on and continue to try afterwards, even though they didn't win.
Okay.
And I think that that's really inspiring for me, that she didn't give up. And that's one of the reasons I really admire her is because she didn't win. And you know, many people may see that as, oh, she lost her chance. But she did go on to be really successful and ended up winning an Oscar and even a Grammy.
Right. If you look at other seasons, often you'll notice that the top three, maybe the top three or so of the contest, will do quite well. They'll have some reasonable success with their albums and so on. But usually below that, you don't hear too much about these people after the competition. Well, Jennifer Hudson is definitely an exception. So let's find out why. We're on page 38, and we'll begin our reading with that first paragraph.
Jennifer Hudson, the former American Idol, explains why she's still happy. Jennifer Hudson still gets nervous when she has to perform, at least on certain occasions. February's Super Bowl was too big an event to take in. I had to step out of it to be like, I'm just singing to myself. Appearing on the Grammy Awards later that month brought on a whole other basket of nerves, as Hudson was nominated for three awards. She won Best R&B Album for her self-titled debut and faced an audience of her peers and idols. I'm thinking, am I going to win? Then I looked out and saw Whitney Houston, and I lost it.
All right, if you're just joining us, this is Naomi. I'm here in the studio with Brandon and Campbell, and we're talking about Jennifer Hudson. And the first thing we learn is that she still gets nervous when she has to perform. Campbell, do you relate to that?
Oh, yes, definitely. I still get nervous. Even though I've done hundreds of shows, I still get nervous anytime I need to get out on stage because I think there's always that fear of messing up or looking stupid. But I think sometimes, you know, that the nerves are good. As long as you don't let them, you know, overcome you, I think the nerves kind of drive you to have a really solid, strong performance.
I'm glad that's true for you. For me, if I'm nervous, if I have to sing by myself, I get very nervous. And it always makes my voice really shaky.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me perform worse than I would if I could just kind of get a hold of myself.
Right.
That's right. And I think also I don't sing solo, but when I speak in front of people, I get very nervous. And I think, as Campbell said, that is helpful sometimes because it helps you to focus on what you're doing. If you're not nervous at all, then maybe you will not be too focused on what you're doing and that sort of thing. So a little bit of nervousness is maybe okay.
Okay, that's a good point. And it's true that when you speak in front of a group, and maybe a lot of our listeners have this challenge that they have to maybe do a speech in English at some point, a little bit of nerves, that's an okay thing. But I think it's true that the more you do something, the easier it gets.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Definitely for me now, when I speak in front of a group, I'm usually okay. I don't get too nervous. But when I sing, I haven't done it as much. And so it does make me really nervous.
Yeah. And well, it's, I mean, really understandable why she would get nervous. I mean, she's singing at the Super Bowl, which is this huge, huge, if not the biggest sporting event in the United States every year. And thousands and millions of people are watching her, you know, so it's very understandable why she would get nervous.
And it's televised live. So if something happens, then it's the whole world's going to see it.
Right.
And so it's very a big event for her to take in. When she says it was too big to take in, what does she mean?
It was so big, Naomi, that it was difficult for her to even understand the size of this event. She just couldn't take it all in. It was too big for her.
It was sort of overwhelming. And so she says she had to step out of it. And what does she mean by that, Campbell?
Just to take herself out of the situation and not think about the fact that there are millions of people watching in the stadium and also by television, just to focus on, okay, I'm just singing to myself. All these people, they don't matter. I'm just singing to myself, you know, and that helps her to calm down and to realize that, okay, maybe this, it doesn't have to be such a big deal.
Okay, so it sounds like she made it. We have a picture of her on page 39 singing at the Super Bowl, and she looks great, so I think she did a good job. But there was another occasion where she also got pretty nervous. What was that?
Right, well, she was at the Grammy Awards later that month, And the Grammy Awards, again, are a ceremony by the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, and they hand out awards to top artists. And she says that this brought on a whole other basket of nerves. Another way of saying that, she just was very nervous about this situation, maybe in a different way. It's a different audience, but she was also very excited and very nervous about getting nominated and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, why was she at the Grammys?
Well, she was nominated for 3 awards, and actually she won for the Best R&B Album for her debut album, which is called Jennifer Hudson. It's self-titled, which just means that it also has her name. And the reason she was nervous is because she had to face an audience of her peers and idols. And, I mean, I would definitely be shaking in my boots. Mm-hmm. I would be really nervous knowing that, you know, all these people out there are really successful recording artists. And if I had to sing in front of someone I really admired and think about how that they might be judging me, mm-hmm. they might be critiquing me, I would be really nervous too.
Yeah, so she's already nervous about whether or not she's going to win the awards she's nominated for.
Mm-hmm.
But then also she's in front of this audience. And as she says, when she looked out and saw Whitney Houston, she lost it.
Yes, that means she was very excited to see Whitney Houston. And when we say we see someone and we just lose it, that means we're just so amazed that this person is in our presence, and it makes us maybe even more nervous.
Right.
Okay. Losing it is probably your composure.
Mm-hmm.
When we say you're keeping your composure, it means you're still being yourself, you're staying cool. But if you lose it, it means you're something kind of switches over and you start to go a little nuts.
Right. It's like, oh my gosh, there's Whitney Houston. What am I going to do? I'm singing in front of Whitney Houston.
Yeah. When I lose it, I usually start crying. So Jennifer Hudson was on stage. She says she lost it, but I think she probably did okay. One thing that I wanted to mention, she was nominated for her self-titled debut. Now, a debut, what's that?
Well, a debut of something is the first time that it happens. A debut album just means her first album. A debut for a show is the first time that show is performed in front of a live audience. So it just means the first time that something happens.
Okay. So even though she started out on American Idol a while ago, she's still encountering a lot of firsts in mm-hmm. her career. All right, let's continue with the second part of the reading, Triumph and Tragedy.
Triumph and Tragedy. Hudson, 27, was facing relatively modest crowds during her theater tour with Robin Thicke, which launched in New York in March. Thicke was a contributing writer on her album, Jennifer Hudson. After the chemistry we had working together, this was a no-brainer, she says. Hudson took part in the American Idol's live tour in 2004 after the then-unknown singer placed 7th on TV's top-rated show. But this tour was her first trek as a solo artist. And like Hudson's triumphant performances earlier this year, it was shadowed by the slayings of her mother, brother, and nephew in Chicago last October. The singer doesn't address the tragedy or say outright that she finds work therapeutic, but she is clearly intent on maintaining a busy schedule and a positive mindset. "I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm glad to be here," Hudson says when asked how she is. Her belief in God remains a source of strength and guidance. "My family and friends have always called me a woman of faith," says Hudson, who was raised Baptist. "For my whole life, that has helped me get through everything."
Okay, so we're on page 38, talking about Jennifer Hudson, and the title to this section that we just finished reading is Triumph and Tragedy. Now, what would triumph be, Brandon?
Well, triumph is something, it's a very positive term. Maybe we see this term a lot of times in war or something like that. It's an idea of having victory over something. So here we're going to talk about how she had victory over a certain obstacle or incident in her life.
Okay. What about tragedy?
Well, a tragedy is just something terrible that happens, something really sad. We hear about tragedies on the news. Maybe there's an earthquake or a hurricane that, you know, destroyed thousands of lives. That's a tragedy, something really sad.
Okay. So we're going to talk about how Jennifer has faced both, well, she's faced plenty of tragedy or even just frustrations, different setbacks in her life. But she's been able to triumph over these things. Now, she is 27 years old, and it says that she started this tour earlier this year. And how was that going, Campbell?
Well, it was relatively not – it wasn't amazing. It said that the tour, they faced relatively modest crowds. Modest just means that there weren't a lot of people there. It wasn't a sold-out crowd. It wasn't a really popular tour. But it seems that she had a good time on this tour.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they use the word relatively to describe these modest crowds. I wonder what they're comparing it to. If they're comparing it to, you know, the success of American Idol or the Super Bowl, then of course almost any crowd would be smaller than those.
Right.
And so I wonder whether it must be a bit of an adjustment for someone like her to go to the Oscars and go to the Grammys and sing at the Super Bowl. But then on her own tour, you know, any crowd would be smaller. That might feel a little strange.
Right, and we would call that maybe a humbling experience, meaning that maybe sometimes people can think, oh, I'm great, I'm wonderful, and then you have these small crowds, so it kind of puts you back into reality.
Mm-hmm. All right, so she is facing these smaller crowds during this theater tour. Who's she touring with?
She's touring with Robin Thicke, and we see that Robin Thicke was a contributing writer on her album, Jennifer Hudson. That means that they wrote songs together for this album.
Okay, and Jennifer says that after the chemistry we had working together, this was a no-brainer. When we talk about having good chemistry with someone in a working situation, what do we mean?
That means you have a really good connection, really good interaction with that person. You work well together. And so here, these two were working really well together.
Okay. I think we also sometimes use this term talking about romantic relationships. If, you know, for example, my friend might have gone out on a date with a guy and I say, oh, how was it? And she'll say, well, he was nice, but there was no chemistry. The idea of chemistry is that there's something extra in personalities and so on that really meshes well together. So she says they had this good connection, good relationship, and so this was a no-brainer.
Right. A no-brainer just means it's not something you have to think a lot about. You don't have to put a lot of thought into this decision. Should I do it? Should I not do it? It's just like, oh, well, you know, we get along really well, so why not?
Right. When my sister asked me to be her maid of honor in her wedding, it was a no-brainer. Of course I said yes. It never would have occurred to me to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the idea. You don't even have to think about it. It's an automatic decision. What do we learn next, Brandon?
Well, next we learn that Hudson took part in the American Idol's live tour in 2004. And I believe this is when a lot of the winners of American Idol or the top 10 go and they tour the country. And after the then unknown singer placed 7th on TV's top rated show. So we see she came in 7th place and now we see her success.
Okay.
Right. So this tour is a tour that happens after each American Idol season. And yeah, basically people remember the top three. So after beyond that, people don't really remember you, especially the 7th place winner, which is why the article says that she was then an unknown singer.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not an unknown singer anymore.
Right. But they're comparing that tour to this tour that she did earlier this year. Comparing the two would be quite something. I mean, people coming out to see the success of TV's top-rated show, I'm sure the crowds would be enormous. But this tour was her first track as a solo artist. She may have had a slightly different response, a bit of a different dynamic going on. The whole situation may have felt a little unusual to her.
Right, because when you're on the tour with American Idol, there's a bunch of other artists with you, and there's this whole thing with you were on the show, and so I'm excited to see you. But then when you're off by yourself, the same excitement is maybe not there unless they just really love you.
Yeah, right. And also the idea is that when you're on that American Idol tour, you're one of 10, one of 12 people performing. When you're a solo artist, you're responsible for the whole show. The whole show is on your shoulders. So if you suck, then the show sucks.
Okay, good point. If you're not doing a good job, then there's nothing to see. It's not like, oh, well, Jennifer wasn't great tonight, but so-and-so did a wonderful job. That's it. If you weren't great, then that's all that they're going to remember. But aside from that, we see that just like Hudson's triumphant performances earlier this year, talking about the Grammys and the Super Bowl, this tour has also been shadowed by something really, really tragic.
Yes, it was shadowed by the slayings of her mother, or the killings of her mother, brother, and nephew in Chicago last October.
When something is shadowed by something, it just means that, you know, there's just something, it creates a dark mood about it, you know. Even though there's some great things going on, you're still thinking about this, you know, this dark thing, this tragedy that happened.
Yeah, I remember reading about this on the news last year and just being really shocked. It's the kind of thing that you don't hear about too often, thank goodness. But in this case, Jennifer's family, some of the people she's closest to, were killed really suddenly and tragically. And so this definitely affected her in a big way. But going on to page 39, at the top of that page, you sort of get the sense that the interviewer is trying to see how Jennifer's doing in relation to this tragedy.
Right. It says the singer doesn't address the tragedy. In other words, she doesn't really talk about it in a straightforward manner or maybe even mention it much. And she doesn't say outright that she finds work therapeutic. So it's talking about maybe she's working a lot to try to get her mind off of it, or maybe this working so much helps heal her.
Right. Mm. It says she doesn't say outright, or she doesn't share directly that she finds work therapeutic. What do we mean by therapeutic?
When something is therapeutic, it helps you feel better. You know, we might say going to the spa is therapeutic, getting a massage is therapeutic, or talking to a friend is therapeutic. It just helps you deal with a problem, helps you feel better. What I really admire about her is that she isn't, you know, talking about this tragedy like, oh, woe is me, you know, look at what happened to me, this is terrible, my life is horrible, you know. She's moving on and she's trying to be strong.
Yeah, I think that it would be easy for a celebrity to use an expression, to milk a tragedy like this. In other words, to try to get press out of it.
Right.
I think that's a temptation for a lot of celebrities. When something negative happens in their life, it's an excuse to get more attention as well. And Jennifer clearly does not feel that way at all, which I think is really good. But she is intent on maintaining a busy schedule.
She is, and the word intent on, or the phrase intent on here, means she's determined. She's focused on this. She wants to keep a busy schedule. But not only that, she wants to keep a positive attitude or a positive mindset. So again, she's not being in a state of depression all the time, and she's continuing on with her life.
And I wonder whether this is 100% healthy. She says, I'm fine, I'm happy, I'm glad to be here. And I think that I hope that's true. But I think also sometimes we have a temptation to brush off our problems. Maybe this is just for her when dealing with the public. She feels like she doesn't need to get into it with the public, which I think is good.
Right. I think in a way she's probably trying to separate her private life and her public life and trying not to get too many people involved in that, which I think is smart.
But she does share a little bit about how she's gotten through this.
Right. She says her belief in God remains a source of strength and guidance. So, again, she's depending upon God to help her through this very tragic situation.
I think many of us who have been through difficult times in our lives have discovered that we can't do it by ourselves and that we do need something to help us get through it. And for Jennifer, as for many of us, it's a belief in God that gives us strength.
Right, because when something like this happens, you wonder why. You know, you really have a lot of questions, and sometimes there are no answers. So really only believing in God and believing that He is good and that He can work something good out of this, or that He's in control, even though all of these things have happened, that really gives you the strength, gives you the energy to keep going.
Mm. And that is what Jennifer Hudson is saying. My family and friends have always called me a woman of faith. She has faith in God. She says for her whole life, that's helped her get through everything. And I think that's great, because it's true that we aren't so strong on our own, especially when we face big problems like these.
That's right. We need something to depend upon, as you just described, Naomi. And I'm glad to see here that she talks about that. You know, sometimes people will see this and say, her mom and her brother died. How can she stand here and say she's okay? But when we know that it's not just her, that she has someone helping her.
Mm. All right. Well, speaking of Jennifer and all of her gifts, let's just take a minute and listen to her beautiful voice.
And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I'll ever know. There's no way I can ever go. No, no, there's no way. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you. I'm not living without you. I don't wanna be free. I'm still. I'm you. You're gonna love me.
Hi. Okay, thanks everyone for being with us today, and I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow to learn a little more about Jennifer Hudson. For all of us here in Advanced, we'll see you then. Bye-bye.